You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church. We are starting a new series this weekend called Preppers, Are You Ready? You might notice actually the set behind me and all the prepping that we've been doing here for the upcoming shutdown. In case you're not familiar with the term, a prepper is actually someone who prepares for emergencies. It really could be any kind of emergency, anything from losing your job to the end of the world as we know it. Imagine you were stranded in the wilderness. How would you survive? What if the power grid failed or the water stopped coming out of your faucet? What would you do? A good prepper has not only thought about these things, they have made themselves ready for them. They're the kind of person you want to know if it's the end of the world. I remember as a kid going to my grandparents' house, and maybe you were like this, but my sister and I, we loved to go through the house and open any drawer and any cabinet and any closet that we could just to see what was inside, because it was different from what was in our house. And one day we discovered in the garage rows and rows of shelves that were stocked with canned goods. I don't think in that day they were really paying attention to the expiration dates, because it seemed like there was some really old canned spinach on those shelves. I asked my parents about all the canned goods, and they explained that Grandma and Grandpa had them just in case something happened. They were ready. They were ready for the eventuality that could be the case. Not too long ago, my grandma graduated into eternity. And while my parents were cleaning out the house, one of the things that they came across was an old bucket of MREs. Those are the meals ready to eat, you know, those freeze-dried meals that they put together for situations that, you know, like this, where we're talking about. It was from the Y2K stash that my grandparents had put together. And now some 20 years ago, right, that was the turn of the century, the turn of the millennia, when everybody thought the computers were going to crash. And so my dad opened up that bucket of MREs and decided that he was going to try one of the meals to see if it was still any good 20 years later. Let's just say that the canned spinach would have been a better option. Now, listen, over the next couple of weeks, we're not just going to talk about how much water or food or toilet paper you should have stored up in your garage in case things go south. Here's the question that we're asking, and this is where we're going to go for the next couple of weeks. When it all falls apart, what will you have stashed in your spiritual bug out bag? Preppers, they prep to bug out when things go south. And we are actually prepping to stay right here, right? We have to prep to bug in instead of bugging out. And I just want to talk to you for a moment about where we're at. I mean, it's just kind of an aside here for this particular moment in our lives, in our history, in our world, in our church. We're about to go through a tough winter. There's no doubt about it. Our county is about to go backwards in terms of our reopening. Our country is experiencing the highest rates of COVID so far in this pandemic. The world is going back into shutdown. I see it coming. I know you see it coming, too. There was a lot of toilet paper coming out of Walmart this weekend if you were visiting the stores. But bigger than this moment right now, even though it's hard for us to look beyond, right? We tend to really only be able to see what's right in front of us. So it's important for us to be able to see beyond. As the people of God, we have to actively prepare ourselves for whatever is to come. We have to be spiritually ready for what's next, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's an economic downturn, whether it's a natural disaster, or whether it's the status quo and everything seems to be fine. We can't go to sleep. We can't afford to. We can't hold our breath. We can't stick our head in the sand, or at least we shouldn't do those things as the church. There's a lot of talk right now about the end times. Is this the end times? Is this the beginning of the end? Is this the end of the beginning of the end? It's a lot of talk and there's a lot of speculation. This is what I know, and I think hopefully this will be a comfort to you. We certainly can see indicators that we're getting closer to Jesus's return. Things are accelerating. They're moving faster. If you look at some of the hints in the scripture, we look at Daniel chapter 12, one of the indications of the coming of Christ is that knowledge is going to increase. Well, we see that. We see the rates of knowledge increasing greater and at a faster pace than ever before in history. Knowledge is multiplying, so much information, so much knowledge. We see people moving, right? In Daniel 12, it talks about people moving to and fro. It seems to be maybe an indication of mass migration and shifting back and forth, and that certainly is happening these days. Matthew 24, Jesus talks about his coming again, and one of the things that he refers to is the wickedness will increase. We see wickedness increasing. So these are indicators. They're very apparent in our world that knowledge is increasing, that wickedness is increasing, that people are moving around. There's lots of shifts and there's lots of shaking. But indicators are just that. They're indicators. When you think about a turn signal on a car, if you're on the highway and someone in front of you puts on their turn signal, have you noticed that that indicator is not always particularly helpful about the exact timing of when that turn is going to happen? Some people leave that indicator on for a long time before they make their move. Some people forget that it's on. Some people just turn it on very quickly and then they move. Some people, it's on and on. It seems like, when are they ever going to change lanes? It's hard for us to know, based on the indicator, when the blinker starts happening, when the move is about to happen. We know, okay, there's something that's going to happen, but the timing of it is difficult. The Apostle Paul, if you look at the way that he thought about Jesus' return, he really seemed to think that it was going to happen in his lifetime. Or maybe it was that he just chose to set the example for us about how we are to live. He lived as if it was about to happen. And I think that's really what's key for us. Whether we think it's going to happen tomorrow, next year, 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years from now is really not the question. It's how we are to live right now. And I just want to encourage you, let's not get into such a rush that we miss what the Lord is saying to us in this hour and at this time. The faster that the world races, the slower the people of God need to walk. Jesus walked on the earth at 3 miles an hour. He was never in a hurry. He was never in a rush, but he was always ready and he was always on time. The louder the world yells, the quieter the people of God should whisper. Our goal is not to be the loudest people in the room, it's to be the clearest. The darker the world becomes, the brighter the people of God should shine. I mean, we know these things. We say them to one another, but we just have to remember them. This is a time to be about the Father's business. There is a world that is in need of the hope of the cross, and there's a harvest that awaits all those who are willing to labor in the fields, but it all begins with us being prepped, with us being prepared, with us being ready. So let's get prepping. I'm going to talk to you out of the book of Jude in this series. And if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to pull out your pen, pull out your paper, pull out your device. If you're watching online, we have notes there. If you're watching on Church Online, you can always get the notes if you're watching live on YouVersion as well under the Events tab. Now, the book of Jude is one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's actually, I think, the fifth shortest book in the Bible. And it's really rich in content, even though it has one chapter. It's really just a series of verses, 20-some verses that are there. Jude writes to the early church to warn them not to fall asleep. And not to move away from the core of the gospel message of Jesus, which I think is so appropriate for us right now. His words are carefully chosen. They're very sharp. They speak very loudly, even today, 2,000 years after they were originally written. And so I think that it's so appropriate for us to go to Jude and to see what he would say to us about this moment of being ready. So let's begin in verses 1 through 5, and let me just read them to you out of the Passion Translation. It says this, from Judah. Now, Jude is, and Judah really are the same name. Judah, a loving servant of Jesus, the anointed one and brother of James. I'm writing to the chosen ones who are wrapped in the love of Father God, kept and guarded for Jesus, the Messiah. May God's mercy, peace, and love cascade over you. Dearly loved friend, I was fully intending to write to you about our amazing salvation we all participate in, but felt the need instead to challenge you to vigorously defend and contend for the beliefs that we cherish. For God, through the apostles, has once for all entrusted these truths to his holy believers. Now, it's interesting here. Jude says, listen, I was originally writing to you with one purpose in mind. I was going to talk to you about your salvation and the way that God has set you apart for that purpose and he's chosen you. He said, but by the Spirit, I really feel like there's something critically important for me to talk to you about right now. He says, that is this. You have to vigorously, he says, contend and defend. That is, you have to struggle and fight for something, fight for the faith. The Greek word that's translated there into those two words, defend and contend, it's really one word, and it just simply means that struggle or to fight. It's the idea that you are pushing against an adversary who's not going to give up what you want easily. Preppers know that when things fall apart, they're not going to expect to be rescued. They're going to have to contend. They're going to have to push. They're going to have to work for it. In sports, we sometimes recognize that a win is the result of the other team or the other person simply not showing up that day. That's not what we're talking about here. Defending and contending is really about the reality that we are faced up against an adversary, that is the world, that is the enemy, that is everything that is sort of that we're facing, that we're going to have to push against in order to see the things of God in our lives, in our families, and in our world. And I have found that when it comes to following Jesus, there's a level of fight that I have to bring to the game. Sin is easy. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but saying no to sin requires me to contend. It's easy for me to fall into sin. That's, we even use those terms, like we fell into it. Well, you know, you don't only fall into things that are easy to fall into. But we are called to something different. We're called to fight. So for the next few minutes, what I want to do is talk to you about having a prepped attitude. That is the attitude of a prepper, the attitude of a person that says, I don't want to be caught by surprise. I don't want to miss the opportunity that's coming down the road. And there is an opportunity right now. There is a reality that's in the world that we can miss because of all the noise, because of the pandemic, because of the anger, the frustration, the election cycle, all the things that are going on. But we don't want to miss what God is doing, so we want to contend. We have to say, I'm going to be different from the crowd. From what everyone else is doing, that's not what I'm going to take my indicators from. I'm going to push against the pressure to pretend like everything's okay. I'm not going to be lulled to sleep, and I'm going to stay awake. When I think about this attitude of contending, one of the things that it reminds me of is how Jesus, at the end of Matthew chapter 24, he tells four different parables. He's actually talking about his return. He's talking about the second coming. And he gives these four different stories, and the point of all of them is that people are to be ready for his return. All these stories are about living a lifestyle that refuses to be lulled to sleep, refuses to be distracted by the party or the thing that's going on or the noise that's happening, and instead is prepared and ready because none of us know the day or the hour of his return. So contending is about an attitude. It's about being prepared, and it begins with this idea of a mentality and a perspective. And I want to talk to you about four ways to contend, and you can write these down in your notes as we go through them. And as we look at each of these four ways that we contend, these four ways that we demonstrate the right attitude of being prepared, and this is our launching place. We're going to talk about in the next couple of weeks how then this specifically looks for us as we prepare for the future. What do we need to do? What are we going to put in our bug out bag, so to speak? But right now it's about our attitude. And as we go through these, I want you to ask yourself, how am I doing in each of these areas? How am I doing in each of these areas? So the first one is this, and I want you to write this down. The first thing, that the first attitude that we need to have is that we need to adopt the right perspective. Adopt the right perspective. Jude says, I'm writing to the chosen ones. I'm writing to the people of God. I'm writing to the church. I'm writing to those who know Jesus. To be chosen means to be set apart for a specific purpose. So here he's writing to all of those who know Jesus Christ. He's writing that message for us. all those who are wrapped in God's love, he says, we have to remember who we are. We have to remember and look through the lens of perspective that we are short timers here on earth, that we are citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of the United States or any other nation that's an earthly nation. Ephesians chapter 5 puts it in this way when Paul writes, he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. So here's the perspective that we begin with. The perspective is that we have to remember that, first of all, God is in control. Secondly, this is not my home. And thirdly, I am not my own. I just want you to say that right now. If you'd repeat those with me, would you say God is in control? And would you say, this is not my home? And finally, I am not my own. Boy, if you live by those three things, those are three unique Christian perspective points of view that we adopt as we come into the family of God, that we say, you know what, I'm not in control. And ultimately, no one else is in control other than the one supreme commander of the universe, that is God. And this place that I live, this is not my home. I mean, I might be in my house right now. You might be listening in your house right now. You might have your name on the title deed of that home. You may have paid for it. But ultimately, that's not your home. It is a stopping place. It is a way station for a future home and a destination that we're going to. And we're only going to be here for a short period of time. And so we have to live with an expectation that it all could be gone tomorrow. And there's an eternity that we're about to enter into. And then finally, I'm not my own. I actually belong to Jesus. That means my body belongs to him, what I do with my body, my stuff belongs to him, all that I am and everything, every gift that I have, every skill set that I have is really his. It's not mine. And so I don't get to say whatever I want to say or whatever I want. I don't get to do whatever I want to do. It's really up to him. And that is the very first thing that we have to remember is that the perspective that we carry as people of God has to be one that says, you're in control, God. So I would just start there and ask you the question, where have you potentially adopted the perspective of the world? Where have you forgotten, maybe for a time, that this world is not your home, that your stuff is not ultimately your stuff, that you're even yourself belongs to him? That's the first thing. Adopt the right perspective. The second one is this. I want you to write this down. Assume the position. Assume the position. I think we're familiar with that phrase. There are some exercises or activities that you can't do unless you're in the right position. Now, the position I'm talking about here is the position of being in Christ. Jude describes it in verse 1 as being wrapped in the love of Father God. This phrase, in Christ, or in him, in the Lord, actually appears 164 times in the scripture. It's a very important phrase for us because it speaks to us of our position. Now, when we're talking about being in Christ, it's not being in him like we're inside of him. It is in him as in connected to him, like he's the source, right? Like the limb, your arms are in your body, they're connected to your body, or a branch is in the tree. So when you're in Christ, you know these things. You know that you and I will find that you need nothing else. When I'm in Christ, I find I need nothing else. He is the source of life and hope for us. Jesus put it in this way in John 4. He said, those who drink the water I give will never become thirsty again. There's something that is so satisfactory. There's something that's so perfect and so wonderful, so life-giving about Jesus that when we receive him, we realize we have been completed, that we need nothing else. All the things of this world, the things that I own, even the relationships that I have, nothing compares to Christ because he's everything. And so I can lose it all and I can still be satisfied and content because I can never lose it all because I have found the one who is the all in all. And so when we're in Christ, we find we have found our place. We have found complete and total fulfillment. Secondly, when I'm in Christ, I find that I am united with his body. Now think about this. Branches don't cut off other branches, right? So anyone who is in Christ, that is, anyone who has received the message of salvation, of his life and his hope that he's brought to the lost and the broken and those who are far away, anyone who has come in and received salvation, freedom from their sins, received his sacrifice in place of our wickedness, their brokenness, then they are now in Christ. So that means we have lots and lots and lots of brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and many of whom we don't agree with, many of whom we can't see eye to eye on lots of points, but we're all in the tree together. This is what Paul says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Now, in the day when Paul is writing this, Jews and Gentiles are about as far apart as you can get. I mean, talk about a divided and sectored off society and world. I mean, it makes our political divisions just pale in comparison to the division between Jew and Gentile. They didn't go into each other's houses. They barely spoke to one another. They wouldn't eat together. If one touched something, the other person couldn't pick it up. I mean, it was a big deal and a big division. And here Paul says, there's something that has happened when you're in Christ that erases all of those divisions. You are now in the same family and you don't get to cut each other out. And I just am so reminded right now of our tendency to cut other people off because of their political views, because of the way that they view the world, because of something they have said or something they've done, because of maybe a dogma issue, a teaching issue, a belief issue. And suddenly we get to decide who's in and who's out. And Jesus says, no, actually, I'm the one that gets to decide. And anyone who is in Christ is part of the family. And thirdly, if I'm in Christ, I find that I am radically transformed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he becomes a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. So there's a transformation power that comes from being in Christ. When we're in Christ now, there is a new birth that happens inside of us, and now we're working from the inside out. Jesus is working from the inside out, changing and transforming us. And so sometimes that is a process. It's always a process. Actually, sometimes that process takes longer than at other times in different areas of our life, but there's a transformation power that's happening all the time. So we have to remember that we are in him, and we have to get our position in the right spot. The third thing we need to know is that we have to align our posture. We have to align our posture with him if we're going to be prepared for what's to come. Jude says, I want to challenge you to vigorously defend and contend for the beliefs that we cherish. Now, usually, right, if you're going to defend and contend for something, that probably means you're going to have to stand up. Right. I mean, of course, we're speaking in spiritual terms here. We're not just talking about a natural fight that we're in, but our natural experience does give us great insight into the spiritual here. Warriors generally don't sit down in order to fight. It's just not a strong posture. Standing is a position of readiness. And we see this over and over in Scripture. In Ephesians 6, Paul says, stand your ground. In 1 Corinthians 16, he says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. And we see that standing is a posture of readiness. It's a posture of preparation for movement. It's a posture of command. It's a posture of authority. There's a movement in the United States called the Stand Your Ground Law that has been enacted in a number of different states in our country. Sometimes it's called the line in the sand or the no duty to retreat law. Basically what it does is it provides that people can use deadly force in their defense when they reasonably think that it's necessary to defend themselves against the threat of harm, being raped, being killed, being kidnapped, whatever it might be. And so when you have a law like that, basically what it says is that people don't have to retreat, because they have come to a place where this is my right to stand here and defend myself. Let me just ask you a question. Are you laying down or are you standing up? when it comes to your position, when it comes to your posture, when it comes to your perspective, it's so critical and so important for us as followers of Christ to take a posture of standing against the enemy, standing against the world, standing against the opinion of those who don't follow Christ, standing against so many things that would threaten to push us into a place that we don't want to be, that threaten to steal all the things that God wants to do in our lives. So many times we're tempted to just give up to the enemy and give in to what he wants. I mean, that's what temptation often does. It whispers in our ears and it says, just give up and give in. And instead of standing against, we find ourselves just kind of yielding. And then we find ourselves pushed around and bullied. And the enemy gets to do exactly what he wants to do, which is to kill, to steal, and destroy all the good things that God has planned and purposed for our lives. If you're going to be a prepper, you're going to have to stand. And then fourthly, what we need to do to contend is we need to aggressively prepare. And that's what we're talking about, being prepared. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. We have to be prepared. We're told, hey, be prepared. If someone asks you about your faith, you're going to have to give them an answer for your faith. You're going to have to tell them why you believe. You're going to have to maybe understand a little bit more about this faith life that we're walking and who Christ is and what the scripture says about him. We're going to have to answer some questions. That's going to require some preparation. It's going to require us to be familiar with the word. It's going to require us to perhaps apply ourselves a little bit. Matthew 24, Jesus says this, therefore, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We have to prepare. We have to prepare for temptation. We have to prepare for the attack of the evil one. We have to prepare for every season. We're to be ready in season and out of season. And whether there's a shutdown and whether there's a pandemic and whether there's fires and whether there's smoke and whether there's whatever is going on, our attitude has to be one that is prepared. The prepped attitude adopts always the right perspective. Knowing who we are in Jesus. We're loved by him, and he is our foundation, and he's in control. It assumes the position that we are in Christ, and we're going to live in Christ, and we're not going to allow ourselves to be pulled out of him, and we're not going to divide ourselves up into different groups. We're going to recognize that we are the family and the army of God. It aligns our posture that we are to stand at ready, that we are to stand in the day of evil, that we are to stand against the enemy, and it aggressively prepares. We have prepared ourselves aggressively so that we are ready for whatever is to come. So just a quick attitude check moment here for you, because this, at our beginning of the series, is all about our attitude. Where has your perspective become skewed? Where have you perhaps moved out of position? Have you sat down to take a rest and ended up stuck there? Are you preparing, or are you perhaps being distracted? Are you self-medicating? Are you doing other things? The thing that I'm really impressed in this moment is the importance for us to not allow this winter, these next couple of months, to be months where we just repeat maybe some of the things that we did in the first period of shutdown. And just hear me when I'm saying, I'm not only talking about a natural shutdown, I'm not only talking about this moment in our lives, I'm just talking about always being ready. And if we're going to be ready, that means we're going to have something inside of us. We're going to have to plant something deep inside of us. We're going to have to be able to go into the storehouse and pull out those stores of oil, those stores of wisdom, those stores of the Word of God. We're going to have to know how to find his presence. We're going to have to know how to dwell in his house. No matter whether we're out in the community or whether at home, whether we're in a church building or out of a church building, we have to know how to bring God into this moment right now, wherever we are. We have to know how to tell people about the hope that is inside of us and the good news of the message that he has brought to the world. And the question is, are we ready? Or are we going to repeat the mistakes of yesterday? I think probably right now, this is a season for us to prepare. This is what Proverbs 20, verse 4 says. I'm going to end with this. It says, the slacker does not plow in season. At harvest time, he looks, but nothing is there. Right? The slacker, you know, he's like, yeah, we'll get through this. We're not going to worry about it. You know, somebody will take care of me at that point. Somebody else will have a little extra to share. But here comes time to harvest, and, well, the crops didn't grow because the slacker didn't do the work. Nothing is there. When you look into that bug out bag, that spiritual preparation toolkit, I want you to find something there. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be prepared in season and out of season for what is to come, because God is a God that has given us everything that we need, but we're going to have to make ourselves available to Him. So as we prepare to go into this next season, whether this next season lasts a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a couple of years, whether we go in cycles and out of cycles of the pandemic, and all of that really is not the point. The point is, am I being the person that God has called me to be? Am I ready for what is to come, or have I fallen asleep? I believe that God's looking for people who are willing to do the work. They're willing to press in this season. In the next couple of weeks, I just want to invite you to not go to sleep, to actually re-engage in a very significant and meaningful way in your faith life and preparing for what is to come. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about some very specific skills that I believe will carry us through this season, but not only to carry us through, to carry your family through, and to continue to take territory for His kingdom in this community. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You have given us all that we need according to Your riches and glory. And I just pray as a church that every individual, Lord, that we would be ready for what is to come. We don't want to be asleep. We don't want to be found asleep. We want to be prepared. And so I just pray that You'd stir us up, maybe in those areas, Lord, where we have stumbled or fallen, where we have been distracted. Maybe we've fallen into routines that have not been productive. And we have allowed ourselves to be lulled into a kind of routine that is not beneficial. I just pray, Lord, that You would begin to break those habits. As You do, so gently and so kindly, You make us aware of the weak areas in our lives, and then You provide for us that which is needed. So God, I just pray, shake us up a little bit. We know that as a church, we're called to be the light. We're called to be the truth within this community. And so I just pray, God, for every single person that's hearing my voice right now, that You would inspire them with an attitude of preparation. Make us preppers to be ready for what is to come. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.